History at Hand, revision at your fingertips. What was the reaction of different countries to the Treaty of Versailles? This podcast will look at how France, Britain, the United States of America, and then Germany responded to this treaty. What we will see is that nobody was satisfied with the eventual outcome. It had to be a compromise because there were so many different issues at stake. But as we look at the different outcomes and the way people felt about it, we'll see that it opened up many, many problems for the next 20 years. Many believe the problems caused by Versailles were directly responsible for the outbreak of war in 1939. Marshal Foch, the leader of the French army in the First World War, described it as no more than a 20-year truce. It is often argued that Clemenceau drove a hard bargain in order to get France the revenge that she desired. The reality was rather different. The French had to make significant compromises, and many saw Clemenceau as being far too moderate. France did have to compromise. The Rhineland was not to become part of France or made independent, but instead a demilitarized zone. The Germans had to pay reparations, but it wouldn't be enough to repair all the damage that had been caused within France. Most importantly of all, France failed to get the assurance of Britain, and particularly the United States of America, that they would form an alliance to support and uphold the full terms of the Treaty of Versailles. This left the French in a difficult position. They wanted to fulfill the terms of the treaty for the next 20 years. Other countries, though, were seeing Versailles as being more flexible and open to renewal. This led to many problems for the French, particularly after the occupation of the Ruhr in 1923, following the failure of Germany to pay reparations. The British public were generally satisfied with the terms of the treaty. They saw that Germany had been punished, damage would be repaired. They also saw that the British Empire had expanded and the Royal Navy had maintained its position as the preeminent force in the world, though for only another couple of years. The issues, though, were among the intellectual classes in England. John Maynard Keynes wrote a book called The Economic Consequences of the Peace. This book was instrumental in making people feel that Germany had been too harshly treated, that it was bad for European security and European trade if Germany was having to pay reparations the whole time. Many within Britain soon felt a sense of guilt over the treaty, and as a result of that, many British statesmen over the next 20 years pursued a policy of seeking to amend the Treaty of Versailles and make it more palatable, not just to the Germans, but also to their own sentiments. Here we see the roots of later appeasement. For the United States, Woodrow Wilson's 14 points were meant to be a guiding principle for the peace, but the way it turned out was slightly different. Wilson got his League of Nations, Wilson got German disarmament, but very little else in return, it seems. National self-determination was imperfectly applied, particularly in Germany's case, and many within America felt that they'd done enough already. They'd helped to win the war, and now they wanted to isolate themselves away from all of this again. In spite of Woodrow Wilson wanting the Americans to lead the New World Order, American Congress and the American public were deeply against it. Their principles of isolation meant that America, in fact, refused to sign the Treaty of Versailles, and America refused to join the League of Nations. This left a huge gap in international security. The French, in particular, were deeply worried that this would give Germany an opportunity to get their own back. Now we turn to the most important reactions, those of the Germans themselves. The Germans were deeply angered by the treaty. Indeed, when they heard the terms in May 1919, they initially refused to sign. Eventually, though, they were forced into it, because otherwise the blockade would continue and war may start again, something the Germans simply couldn't stomach. The Germans believed that it wasn't they who had actually started the war, in spite of what the War Guilt Clause said. Many Germans even believed they hadn't lost the war. After all, Germany itself hadn't been invaded in 1918. Many, if there was someone to blame, would say it was the Kaiser, and therefore it shouldn't be down to the new German Republic put the blame for what the Kaiser, the previous leader, had done. The German Republic were angry that the 14 points did not seem to be the principles upon which peace was going to be made. Even worse, the Germans were refused to actually negotiating this. Instead, they were presented with a diktat, a dictated peace. Reparations would sting Germany very, very harshly. How could the Germans afford to pay for the recovering from the war themselves, let alone pay for everybody else's repairs? It just seemed unjust, especially when they didn't think it was their fault the war had started. The military restrictions were also deeply resented. The military had always been a source of pride within Germany. Now, being emaciated, it seemed like Germany had lost its authority. It had lost its world standing. It was a deep blow to Germany's pride. They felt that they couldn't even look after themselves and maintain civil authority with such a small military. The Germans were deeply angered too by the fact that self-determination had been applied in ways which went against them. The creation of the Polish Corridor in particular stuck in the craw of Germans. They've divided the country into two parts. They've also lost other land, 10% of it, 12.5% of population, 16% of coal fields, half of the iron ore. How could Germany's economy recover? How could they possibly pay reparations if they'd lost all of this industrial capacity? The treaty simply didn't seem fair. As we can see, Germans were deeply angered by their treatment at Versailles. They believed that they weren't the ones responsible for the war and they shouldn't have been punished so harshly. Many in Germany blamed the November criminals, those in Germany who'd sought the armistice in the first place. The new Weimar Republic of Germany, many Germans saw the treaty and them signing it as a betrayal. With the Treaty of Versailles, it opened the door to nationalists and Nazis, to Adolf Hitler, to actually argue against the treaty, to claim its injustice, and to gain the support of German people. To round off, we have to ask ourselves, were the Germans really that badly treated? And I give you the suggestion that no, they weren't. To start with, we can argue that it was Germany who were responsible for making this a world war. After all, they gave a blank check to Austria to do whatever they wanted in the aftermath of Archduke Franz Ferdinand's assassination. A second point to make is that Germany's allies, Austria and Turkey, were treated much, much harsher than they were. Germany in many respects was still left intact. Some argue that Germany was actually stronger in 1919 than she had been in 1914. In 1914, there were two great empires of Russia and Austria on her borders. By 1919, although Germany was weaker absolutely, she was relatively much stronger than her new neighbours, like Austria, Poland and Czechoslovakia. The third and final point to make is the 14 points were offered to Germany in January 1918. Subsequent to that, they made a very, very harsh peace with Russia called the Treaty of Brest-Litovsk. You wanted to see a punishing peace, that was surely it. And I'm sure they'd have done the same to the Western Allies too. Their spring offensive been successful in March 1918. It was all very easy for the Germans to cry foul, but as the experience of the 20 subsequent years shows, Germany was by no means a fully defeated power at that stage. Take a Second World War and the division of Germany into four zones, restrict German power, and ensure she could never threaten the peace of Europe again.